from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
A ton to work on. And our standard was not out there today. That's not how we play. So there's a lot that we need to do to get ourselves ready to go here.
Yeah. Okay, I'm fine.
I do a lot of self-talk. If you had a blood pressure cuff on me during that game, it would probably have exploded.
I'm fine! Totally fine! I don't know why it's coming out all loud and squeaky, because really, I'm fine.
The standard is the standard. It's the standard even in a preseason game, preseason week one. There is a standard and an expectation when you put the colors on the Buffalo Bills to come out and play a lot better than we did and coach a lot better than we did.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Just for a moment, let's all appreciate the breezes we got this weekend. Let's appreciate the temps we're getting in the morning and the evening.
We're getting some fall-like weather.
That's right. It's going to go back up into the 80s this week, but some really nice, you know, moderate, cool, and with football being played, it's a great time of year, even though it's preseason. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Jeremy White, Sneaky Joe DiBiase.
You know, hearing McDermott there, it is worth noting. Maybe it's just how he's been about the preseason the whole time. We just haven't known it because they've won all their preseason games for like 4 years. Until that Steeler game last year. Isn't that like the only example of them getting kind of beat in a preseason game?
And he was upset about that and played the starters the next week.
Right. Otherwise, they had a streak. So
yeah,
like
not quite the Ravens, but they were winning a lot.
Right. So this is maybe all how he always has been. We just haven't really noticed because, like we said, the Pittsburgh game last year was the only other example of this that I remember.
So, get your calls in a minute, recap what happened in the game, give some opinions on it that are, you know, balanced by the preseason pledge and all that. But I teased a stat for you I want to get you, which I saw this over the weekend from Tyler Webb, who, sports business reporter, pointed out something that I thought was surprising about the Bills. And I'll just ask you this way. How many NFL rosters average age is younger than the Bills' average age? How many NFL rosters have a younger roster by average age than the Bills?
Well, they've been one of the older ones, but with all the changeover, I don't know, I guess they're like middle of the pack in average age. So maybe there'd be like 15 teams that are younger, would be my guess.
That would be my guess, that neighborhood, that they started to get a lot younger.
Yep.
Which, you know, they have done to a degree. There are only 26. There are 26 rosters younger than the Bills.
So they're still an old team.
They're still an old team. There are three teams older than them. Two
who
teams.
Who are the three?
San Francisco, Miami, and Houston.
That's it.
And Pittsburgh and Cleveland are tied on average age. So,
okay.
So the Bills and their team in transition, you know, next year, they have a bunch more draft picks. Next year, maybe they've gone free agency and had some young guys and some other older guys are gone.
Yeah.
But average age of roster, 26 teams are younger than this team. So I want to say, be careful calling them a young team if that's something that you've been doing.
Yeah, I guess they're younger because I think they've been like the oldest team in the league. But, man, not by much if they're only 26th in the league. And, like, younger team, I guess how many – we've ended up here one game into the preseason. How many spots on the team are like, okay, they've turned it over to a rookie or turned it over to a young guy?
One receiver – one safety, maybe, if he's healthy.
If he gets healthy.
He might be a starter.
Yeah.
One defensive lineman in the rotation. A running back is in the mix, but running back is always kind of churned over.
Yep.
A defensive end.
Yep. Kincaid being a first-round pick, that's happened.
That's right. Shakir's young.
Yeah. Well, because what's interesting about that, and we know how this will end up. Maybe snaps will end up being different than where we're at right now on that. Like, how often does the guy play? Do you remember when, not last year when the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, but the year before? The first year Tyreek Hill's gone, so this is not this past season, but the one before, where the Chiefs win the Super Bowl. And I remember seeing stats after they won it that they led the league in rookie snaps.
Yeah, it was George Karlaftis, McDuffie.
Pacheco played a ton at running back.
Yeah.
Whatever it was. The Chiefs, the first year, that second Super Bowl they won, they led the league in rookie snaps. And I don't know. Doesn't that seem like a huge stretch right now that the Bills would be near the top of the league in rookie snaps?
Sure.
I'm not saying they couldn't be like, they could be bottom of the league, but, you know. What does that take, though, also? Like, what helps that along? When you get a seventh-round running back that ends up being your starter.
That's right.
You need, like, a day three guy to kind of come out of nowhere and get a major role.
It also helps to have, like, Mahomes. You know.
Sure.
Right. Having Allen will help a lot of these rookies.
Yeah.
803-0550. All right, so your thoughts on the preseason game against the Bears. You know, we keep it in check about how panicky anybody should be. I will say, though, if you took that clip from McDermott and we made a montage later in the season in November and played that, people are like, oh, what game was that from? Oh, yeah. That was the Bears preseason game.
Yeah.
Where he's talking about the pride you must have to wear the uniform.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Strong words from him. Meanwhile, the message from Allen and Taron Johnson, saw a bunch of this in the Bills locker room after the game too. I don't know that this gets to your point about how the Bills, this really doesn't happen to them in the preseason. It doesn't have to mean anything. But how are they going to respond to it? Allen's going to say, well, we don't really game plan. You know, we're not showing too much. And I thought, boy, I don't know if he's ever said that before after the preseason. And the answer as to why could be what you just explained. They don't really lose in the preseason in games that matter. But they don't matter, but they don't really have this happen to them. So, hey, guys, we don't game plan. You know, you win by 15. You don't downplay the significance of it. You say, yeah, it's good to get out there and look good and saw a bunch of guys look good. So, you know, whatever. It's preseason. 803-0550, got some calls to catch up on. Your thoughts on, you know, Keon Coleman's debut. Shakir showed off that yak ability that we are counting on this year. We got a Curtis Samuel tunnel screen. Those of you that are really hoping the Bills run screen passes more effectively might get your wish this year.
Mm-hmm. So, he had a nice catch over the middle of the field, too.
He did.
Curtis Samuel.
Yeah. And the rest of the receivers. Joe Biscaglia of The Athletic had a good point, which was, it's tough to know what would have happened if Mac Hollins was healthy. On the depth chart, this is me speaking about like him pointing out Mac Hollins. On the depth chart, Hollins is listed above Keon Coleman, but he was not available for this game. He didn't play. So if he was, would they have split the snaps out there, or would Coleman still have gotten all of them? Because nobody else really got snaps at the X because nobody's available for it.
Right.
Claypool's not available.
MVS got in there late. More so when Trubisky was in.
Yep.
Yeah.
803-0550. Mike in Pennsylvania. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Hey, guys, good morning. Fall is in the air. I can feel it this morning on the ride into work, so thank God for that, man. No humidity.
It.
Keep that elsewhere. So that's great. You know, I don't get too wrapped up in the preseason. Couple things I focus on, though, when I'm watching the games is, like you said, with Khalil, the yards after catch, he looks explosive. He looks like he's going to be a problem. That stood out to me. But the other thing that stood out to me in a negative way was the offensive line just got bombarded on run plays. Cook had really nowhere to run. So that, to me, is a problem. Preseason, scrimmage, practice, Madden game, your offensive line should not be getting pushed back into to the running back. So that was, I think, the most frustrating thing. I don't really worry about the score and all that jazz because people are moving in, and like Alan said, they don't game plan for the preseason games. But man on man, we lost. We got our lunches ate at the offensive line. I don't know if you guys saw anything different on that, but that's what I witnessed right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't want to get too worked up about it. About losing battles on the offensive line. You know, you're not.
It did happen.
It did happen, but you're still just not firing the way you normally would, right? You know, it's just you're not game planned. Put it this way, especially in the run game. In the run game, and we had a caller say a text about the run game. The last thing on earth I'm ever going to care about is how your run game looks in the preseason, because. Not to say, Mike, like it's not important down the line, but this is how I would look at it. When you're running the ball, and this is what the Bills plan to be this year on some level, you are attacking the defense. You're going in a direction with force, right? Mm-hmm. Your game plan, whether you're going to pull a guard this way or do this or motion this, you're going to game plan how to attack a defensive line and run in a direction. And if you're in the preseason just calling basic plays, that's not the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills don't want to show how they're going to run the ball. I mean, it won't exactly revolutionize running the football, but you'll get an idea of how they want to run it, and they don't want to show teams how they want to run it yet. So,
yep,
that'd be my best explanation for why I would just downplay that a little bit.
And I don't know how it's not really a position group where there have been these big questions leading in anyway, where it's kind of new to think about, hey, whoa, what's going on with the offensive line here? I haven't wondered about what their offensive line is going to be like. I know that McGovern has moved over to center, and David Edwards, who was playing as like the sixth lineman last year, is now their starting left guard. But I don't know. Like it's a group of veteran players. You mentioned they're the oldest team or one of the older teams in the league still, and their offensive line, like Dawkins is an 8-year veteran at this point. Edwards is a veteran, won the Super Bowl with the Rams. McGovern's a veteran on his second contract. Like, Brown even is into, what, his fourth year? Like, it's only Torrance, really, in terms of, like, young offensive linemen that you're counting on, and he already gave you a good rookie season. So, I don't know, like, I want to bypass that position even more because I just haven't had serious questions about the group as a whole. If it were safety that was getting them crushed, or receivers dropping the ball left and right. Like, okay, now you've got my attention because I've already been wondering about this. Line? I don't know. Just, I feel like their line's going to be fine. And that even if it's not, Allen's going to cover up for a lot of it when they get to the regular season.
Yeah.
Running the ball, you never know.
Rob in Connecticut. Hey, Rob. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Jeremy. Good morning, Joe. First off, Jeremy, how's the new baby doing?
Good. Good.
Yeah, everything's going well. You adjusted. That's great.
Three at home versus two is it's drastic.
You're playing zone coverage now, right? Is that what you
said? I mean, it's it's partial zone, partial just, you know, run in every direction.
Yeah, got you. And Joe, have you got on the train of the NCAA game yet?
Not yet. Soon.
You got to do it.
Not
soon
yet,
enough.
Huh?
Soon
you
enough.
You got to get on there, buddy. Anyways, listen, you know, I was able to listen to the game. They didn't black it out, so I was happy about that. Brownie did a great job. Caleb Williams, he's going to be something special from what I heard. And the thing that I got from this game was it was nice to know that Tyler Bass – kicked both field goals, especially the long one. You know, it's like, I know the stadium probably cringed. I cringed a little bit, but I think we're going to be okay. I'm in relaxed mode. My blood pressure cuff did not explode, so it's preseason. Let's all relax. I wish the line would have done a little bit better, the offensive line, but this is preseason. Let's go, Bills. Thanks, guys. Always doing a great job.
Thanks, Rob. You know, as you mentioned, Bass, he strikes me as a perfect parallel to what the Bills are this year, which is it kind of doesn't matter what kicks you make. It matters what kicks you miss.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say it doesn't matter what kicks you make, but if he has a good season and then they're in a game in the playoffs and he has a big miss, that's all people are going to remember. That's how that works. That's how it worked with Diggs. Diggs had a good season at the start, started to disappear from the offense in the later stages, and then had a drop, mm-hmm. and it was over. It's over for him because that one's the one you needed. For Bass, he did have a bad year by his standard. Not exactly horrible, but not his best. And then he missed a kick in the playoff game, and, you know, that's the story. So it's kind of a parallel to the Bills, which is, if I tell you they go 11-6 or 12-5, you're going to say, great, but what do they do in the playoffs? Great. Sounds awesome. I know you're good enough to do that, but what matters most is, mm-hmm. how did you ultimately fall apart? How did you ultimately come up short? You know, you live on this level, this plane, it's about how it ended, kind of, more than it is about how it went.
Mm-hmm. He definitely went down in percentage. I'm just, the overall with a kicker, I just tend to think they're up and down as a position group in general. Almost every kicker in the league has up and down seasons. So he went down 5% last year. I'd expect him to progress back closer to his career average and be a couple percentage points higher than he was last year, and I think probably he'll be fine. If he has a second year in a row where, you know, he's down around 80% and he misses a kick here and there, maybe another one in a big spot, then okay, like now you'll have my attention. But I'm not really thinking about him still all that much at all. Certainly not in panic mode.
No, me neither. I don't want to kick field goals. Ever.
I don't want a kicker. In general.
Yeah.
Could you be in panic mode about anything right now? What would you be in panic mode about the Bills right now? Backup quarterback? Could you possibly be? If I were overreaction Monday, if I really wanted to go all in on what's the thing I could overreact the most to from Monday, it's that their backup quarterbacks stink and they should go sign Ryan Tannehill. Right?
He's out there, huh?
He's still available.
It's worth asking because, again, like the job of backup quarterback is not always to be the second-best quarterback on the team. We've seen the Bills do this where they have a backup quarterback and then the quarterback gets hurt and they go to the guy on the practice squad. Thad Lewis jumped over somebody. Was it Jeff Toole at
the time?
Did
they do that?
Yeah. It's not even that unusual.
Okay.
That the backup's job is to be The
clipboard guy.
The wingman to the quarterback.
Uh-huh.
Put it this way. If Allen got hurt tomorrow.
Knocking on wood.
Knocking on wood.
That won't happen.
Are you sure they wouldn't sign somebody to play? As opposed to just being like, Trubisky's the guy.
I'd want them to sign Tannehill.
Right. Or, and who else is out there that might be available?
I don't know. Go trade for someone's backup that's like, who's the best backup in the league? Go trade for Jameis Winston.
Well, a good example of why this is the case, and it's not a perfect comparison, but where is there a big controversy, at least before you even see anybody play, about maybe the backup should be the guy? Pittsburgh? Because Justin Fields is...
He's exciting.
He's exciting. He's made some plays. If a guy becomes available and you have a young quarterback, this was true of, is it Mac Jones and Cam Newton, or who am I thinking of here? We're getting a guy behind your young player isn't ideal because you don't want to hear that noise.
Mm.
You don't want the push from behind. You want your guy to be comfortable and feel like he can play freely. And this isn't a point that a backup quarterback would push Allen. It's just that the job is not always to be the second best quarterback on the team. It's just to help the first best quarterback, help the starter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the Bills would even want Trubisky to play. He signed for 2.5.
Yeah.
What are backup quarterback salaries worth out there? Guys that might have to play or guys that are reasonably good, sometimes they actually do get decent money.
Well, where are we with him since he was last their backup? When he was last their backup, he was coming off being cut by the Bears.
Where he took a team to the playoffs.
He was like a good game manager, right? Like the numbers were pedestrian for sure, but you'd seen worse. And then since, he got another opportunity in Pittsburgh and looked really bad in it.
Yeah.
Right? He got benched last year. He was the backup last year and ended up being third with Pickett hurt because he got outplayed by Mason Rudolph. So I don't know like where I'm at with confidence level in Trubisky versus where I would have been 3 years ago when he was the backup. In terms of where he's paid, you know, he's like a middle-of-the-road backup. They also, you know, if they want, if it got so bad that they did want to do something, it would cost them $750,000 this year and next year to cut him. So they would save almost all of it if they really wanted to do it. I'm thinking, though, that your earlier point about how he is tight with Allen and who's the quarterback that once pointed out that it's more important as a backup quarterback in the NFL to be friends with the starting quarterback than it is to actually be the best option. Because think of what teams end up doing. If your starting quarterback does go down at one point, you can just sign a guy that's a better idea than your backup. What did the Browns do last year? I mean, they, I guess, tried their backups out.
Yeah, they went
before,
to four quarterbacks.
But what did they end up on was the best idea? Oh, Joe Flacco was just sitting out there and was easily the best option that they could have got their hands on.
Yeah.
That could be Tannehill this year. Or maybe it could be, right, like, okay, something happens to Allen. You don't want it to happen, and Trubisky's got to play. All right, let's go give the Colts a sixth for Flacco. Let's just do that. Like, you could find your way to a better idea if you really wanted to try.
Just checking. You tell me if you'd want these guys as the backup instead of Trubisky if it came down to it.
This is who's available?
This is who's available.
Okay.
Do you want to try and get the three former Bills that are on this list?
I know Nathan Peterman is on the list.
He is.
I'm just saying, if there's something wrong with Shane Buechel, who went for x-rays.
All right, get out of here.
And you need
that.
A guy to get you through the preseason.
Get you through the preseason.
Someone's got to throw passes to the preseason, right?
They can't.
They'll need another quarterback if he's hurt. I'm just saying. And he knows.
Oh, because Buechel's he went for x-rays.
That's what I mean. If he has an injury and they need somebody to play preseason games.
Are the Bills
prepared,
prepared to do the funniest thing ever?
Oh, it'd be amazing. It'd be so great.
Be your dream come true. Here's who's available. You said Tannehill. After Tannehill, Spotrek has eight quarterbacks available. Eight.
Well, there's got to be more guys.
There are more, but guys that rate.
Okay, yeah.
Brian Hoyer, Blaine Gabbert, A.J. McCarron, Matt Barkley, Trevor Siemian, Nathan Peterman, Logan Woodside, and Ben DiNucci. The reality is if
okay, so it would be Barkley. It would be Barkley, right?
If Allen were to get hurt and need to miss time, the Bills might have to trade for somebody if they don't have faith in Trubisky. And again, just I guess the general point is just being the backup doesn't mean a team thinks you're the second best option. It just means you're in the room helping our guy. And for Trubisky,
yeah.
he did that before. Like, you knew he would get along with the quarterback. The last backup was Kyle Allen. Same thing. It's one of his best friends.
Yeah.
Right? We thought Darnold would be an option for the Bills. Because, hey, they need a backup. How about Sam Darnold? He's tight with Josh, too. They could do Darnold. Instead, he got a starting job.
Right.
At least the guy to,
at the beginning,
to
at
try
least.
And hold off J.J. McCarthy. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe, some around-the-league stuff to get to. Team USA wins. That was great.
Team USA wins, and man, like, the game was awesome. It was legendary. I'm going to remember that game forever. It is... you know, far to the headline that's kind of under the radar, if you watch that game, is Wembanyama is going to take the NBA over any minute. That dude is insane. He was trading threes with Curry down the stretch. He's insane.
It's fun to watch.
Yep.
803-0550. Sal joins us at 8:30. You can give us a call if you'd like. Wide open phone lines as we connect with you. Get your thoughts on the Bills preseason opener. And get closer and closer to the start of the regular season. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center. Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
To tie the game, this is it. Stetson Bennett.
Oh, you have to tell.
Rolling out to the left. Bennett slings it back in the end zone.
Yeah.
Touchdown.
All right, playmaker.
Miller, Forrestal, and we are tied with 4 seconds to go.
Rams drama, Stetson Bennett, the game winner. That broadcast booth, Andrew Siciliano, Mina Kimes, Andrew Whitworth, and Sean McVay for a portion of the game.
Yeah.
He was just on headset.
I like that broadcast. The clips I saw with McVay going back and forth with them was really good. A lot of teams are getting a little more experimental. Did you see what the Patriots are doing for their preseason broadcast? It's just four of their former players just hanging out, watching the game, talking. It's like Manningcast.
All right.
I think it's the McCourties, Brian Hoyer, and then one of their old coaches. Like, there's no play-by-play. It's just those four in a room watching and chatting about the game.
Hmm. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. One other thing from the world of golf. So the Wyndham Championship wrapped up. They had weather problems throughout the whole thing. You're not a golf fan. That's okay. Listen to this story. Aaron Ray ends up winning it. And
his
first
PGA win.
His first PGA win, the guy that he beat out, was it eagle and then quadruple bogey?
Yeah.
Yep. And then birdie and then double bogey?
Mm-hmm.
Nice four-hole stretch.
Grayerson, I think the guy's name is.
He carded an eight on a hole. Immediately after eagling. Anyway, so the leader going into the final round was Matt Kuchar. He's in the final pairing. And it's a weather-delayed event. They're trying to get it all. They're smashing it all in. They're running out of time. They're running out of daylight. Kuchar is not going to win because the winner is Aaron Ray. He's already won. And Kuchar, first he teed off on 18, hitting into the group in front of him because they're low on time. Which is, you know, okay.
Yep.
Then, as a guy who's not going to win the tournament, he elected to mark his ball in the fairway and go home. And he is going to go back today to finish the 18th hole. Meaning that the PGA Tour, and whatever that means, has to stay an extra day so Matt Kuchar can play a fairway shot in on 18 and then leave.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, well, the prize money, right? I guess. They've already done the math. If he birdies versus pars, it's a $60,000 difference. The man has made $60 million playing golf.
Yeah.
Yep. He's also the one that has the famous story about this big, huge win, and he tipped the caddy nothing.
Yes.
So he's got a reputation for being cheap.
That's right.
This dude is making everybody go back to the course today so he can play three shots. Instead of just playing the rest of the hole in a little bit of darkness.
Yeah. The caddy story. He won $1.3 million and he tipped his caddy $5,000 when it would have been more typical to tip him 10 times that. And he eventually apologized and then got bullied into tipping him the $50,000. Yeah, he made everybody get back up and be ready for him this morning to go out and play two shots.
Right.
I don't want to say he's a jerk, but he's definitely displaying the behavior of a jerk.
803-0550. Wrapping on Bills preseason loss. They got blown out by the Bears. It got away from them late, 33-6.
Yep. Great weather for the game, though. Holy cow, perfect. 70 degrees, clouds, little breeze, but nothing crazy.
For everyone that
great
was,
weather game.
That was there, you got a good look at the new stadium going up, too.
Yep. Still a good time.
Always good to be at the stadium if you went. Mark and Tonawanda next up as we continue to connect with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com, Western New York's number one Kia dealer.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'd like to be a little hypercritical of A.J. Epenesa. And I know it's preseason. You're playing against a rookie quarterback. You've been in the league now for, what, four or five years? Get a hand on him. He's on the against the Bengals in the playoffs, didn't do anything. Granted, no one really did. Couldn't come in within 3 feet of Joe Burrow in that game. Did nothing in the playoffs against the Chiefs. And I just think it's time with everything we're dealing with the defensive line. I need more, right? I mean, he's either feast or famine, I feel like. If he's not making an interception, you don't even know he's out there. But I'd love to know your guys' thoughts on it. It's being hypercritical. It's preseason. I just wish the defense stepped up a little bit more in that game against Caleb Williams. But
yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Mark. We'll see about Caleb Williams. So I want to make a Bears point and then get back to Epenesa.
Okay.
The Bears going from Justin Fields to Caleb Williams, one of the biggest differences might be, we'll have to find out. We don't know. Caleb Williams has to play regular season games to find this out. Justin Fields was a sack machine. He took sacks that were on the quarterback. And one thing a quarterback can do, obviously, Mahomes and Allen are the two best in the entire league at not getting sacked. It's not because of their line, it's because of what they do. They are best, better than anybody. Fields was unbelievably bad. Mm-hmm. If you gave the Bears Justin Fields with Mahomes' ability to evade sacks, he would be an incredibly... Well, a much better quarterback. Not Mahomes, but...
He'd be a starting quarterback in the league.
Yeah, that is...
He wouldn't be competing right
That
now.
Is incredible value to be able to avoid sacks.
Yep.
So, I don't know if Caleb Williams is elite at that yet. If he is, congratulations, Bears. You've already upgraded immensely. Now to the A.J. Epenesa point. I think you should have totally reasonable expectations for A.J. Epenesa. He signed a 2-year, $12 million contract. That's a $6 million defensive end.
Mm-hmm.
He had 6.5 sacks last year. He had 6.5 sacks the year before. He makes the occasional interception.
He's a starter.
He's a guy that plays.
He's going to be asked to play more, though, this year, isn't he?
That's fine.
All right.
If you ask me, what are your expectations for A.J. Epenesa this season? He's a guy. He's on the team. That's fine. He's a fine guy to have. Where does he rank in terms of AAV for defensive ends?
Mm-hmm.
I can look that up, but two years and $12 million is a player you should not have super high expectations for.
Someone's got to rush the passer.
Yep.
Is he on the field? It's they're playing the Chiefs late in the year. It's 3rd and 10. Mahomes trying to tie the game late. Is he on the field?
Yes.
Okay.
But it doesn't matter who's on the field. The only guy who can sack Mahomes is Vaughn team.
True, but so regular season, I guess, is different. But in back-to-back seasons, I have a veteran defensive end closing out a game against the Chiefs by getting to Mahomes. And not sacking him, but forcing him into a bad throw. Floyd did it last year after Kelsey lateraled it, and the year before that, Vaughn forced him into a pick against Taron Johnson. I don't know, I'm not that worried about him. I think he's a fine player, and you know the money point is right.
Do you want to know where he ranks on AAV average?
Sure, yeah.
Or just on contract value?
It's usually an expensive position, so I'm guessing he's not high up.
He's like 92nd among defensive ends in contract value.
Yeah.
So he's 74th in AAV
mm-hmm.
among defensive ends. Yeah, so
I'm not worried about that. I'm just worried about...
No, that for me, that drives the expectation. He was going to be a UFA at a super valuable position,
mm-hmm.
and he stayed with the same team for the 74th highest paid contract at that position.
Right.
So, Mark, you could say it's like hypercritical for me. Sure. I'm not going to spend a lot of the year thinking about A.J. Epenesa.
He'll be, though, a sign to me of what their pass rush is. Like, if he... Really, I guess I'm also calling him a starter right now. And, you know, he's someone they would be relying on right now to rush the passer. That's going to be less important if Von Miller is giving them anything. Because in an ideal world, no, Epinesa is not out there on the most important snaps of the game. Because Von Miller is the one that's getting to the quarterback. And that's where you want to end up. But to me, like, Epinesa's just kind of a guy. And if he is a regular starter, if he's the guy playing the second most snaps at that position behind Greg Rousseau, then I would expect the Bills are a team that's probably blitzing a lot. Because that's probably the only way they're getting to a quarterback. He's a fine player, but he's not a disruptor. He's not someone I'm expecting to take this giant leap forward. Like, I think Rousseau could. Rousseau's got some underlying numbers that say, okay, there could be a great pass rusher in here somewhere because of how often he beats his man. And Vaughn, I feel like there's that upside too, just because we don't know if he can return to form from his knee. Epinesa, I feel like he's just a guy, and that's pretty much it. And if he's out there and I'm relying on him in the most important snaps, I feel like I'm probably going to have to blitz then to get to a quarterback. And they're probably going to feel the same way. Usually when they've had injuries to Vaughn or to other players, they've changed. They've been a four-man pass rush team when they feel like they can get there. And McDermott has shown to be more aggressive blitzing when they can't get there. And I don't know how often you're going to get there with A.J. Epinesa.
For what it's worth, Pro Football Focus top five defensive grades in this game. Epinesa was third and best among defensive ends.
Yep.
Baylen Spector had the highest defensive grade.
There's Kyrie Elam at number two.
Yep. Terrell Bernard. And then D. Delaney. Yeah.
Okay.
Lowest grades, if you care, if you want these, from PFF. I think we could have pegged this one. Shane Buechele at offense at quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah. Not a big surprise there.
Yep. And then defensive grade to Corey Couch.
And Gable Steveson, the wrestler.
So Gable Steveson played in his first NFL game. There was also over the weekend a kicker. Was it for Philly? Somebody had never kicked a football before. Period.
Not even in practice or anything.
Never. 1 year ago, began kicking a football and kicked a game-winning preseason field goal.
Why was he? Was there an injury? Like, what was he doing out there?
You know, playing.
Did they just say? Is that a sign of the? Was he a kicker or is he like a defensive lineman that said, "Hey, can I go kick this?"
No, it's a guy who started kicking footballs 1 year ago.
I thought you said started kicking footballs in this game.
No,
okay.
Although the preseason should have some of that.
There's fans
out of the stands. Hey, fans, it's time for the third quarter fan field goal.
Go look up on YouTube. There's a clip from way back when Ndamukong Suh asked his coach to kick an extra point, and they let him, and he made it. In a preseason game. There's a defensive tackle out there just kicking an extra point. There's another sign of how important the preseason is.
The Chiefs running back did a kickoff this week, or a couple days ago. He played rugby.
Okay.
It's that Louis Riis-Zamet, I think his name is.
Yeah.
He was playing running back and then also kicked off for the team at one point.
The Chiefs did some had a weekend when it came to the kick returns. They gave up a 73-yard return. They gave up a big return on the kickoffs.
I saw this. That kick return, it's Parker Washington that did it.
Yeah, yeah.
If you did not see this, I'll retweet it again right now. It is reminiscent of Terrence McGee against the Saints.
Yeah.
In how many guys he made miss. He is Parker Washington. It's like one cut, two cut, three cut, fourth cut, up the sideline, makes another cut. Cuts back across the grain. It's an incredible return for Parker Washington to get 73 yards. And it's the biggest kick return in the new kickoff rules history.
Yeah.
And he still didn't score. Which, I wonder if it'll be harder to score when you're in the clear. You know, sometimes in the old kickoff, once you got through, it's one man to beat and there's 60 yards left, but it's just a kicker.
Yeah.
And in this case, it just might be where there's more traffic still to clear in the final 50, 40, 30 yards.
Yeah. The Chiefs also took a safety on a kickoff this weekend.
That's tough.
The guy thought the ball rolled to the one in the landing zone, which we've talked about, like, hey, maybe that's where you want the ball to go if your kicker can handle it. And the Chief guy kneeled in his own end zone, grabbed the ball on the one thinking it would be a touchback, and it was a safety.
Yeah.
By the way, we have a little data on that. There were 107 kickoffs this weekend. 88 of them were returned.
That's
82%.
That's mission accomplished.
Yep.
Thank you to Dan who tweeted in. It's the Saints kicker, Charlie Smith. 22-year-old from Ireland.
Nice.
His first field goal attempt at any American level. There you go.
And it went through for
yep.
the win?
You got it.
Nice.
All right. Sal joins us at 8:30. We'll get his thoughts on preseason game number one. I'd imagine this week we find out if they're going to play their starters in preseason game number two, something McDermott did last year when he was not satisfied with their first outing. They played again. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR. Hey, you can register, jump in, try to win the Friday foursome with Encore Golf, Labatt, and WGR. Every Friday, we announce a lucky winner who gets to experience the excitement of playing one of Western New York's finest golf courses, Seneca Hickory Stick, Lockport Country Club, Diamond Hawk, or Cloverbank Country Club. Plus, you'll receive a box of Encore Golf Balls, a $25 gift certificate to Encore Golf, one-year basic membership to Club Encore. Enter now, WGR550.com, for your chance to win. Brought to you by Labatt, Pristine Refreshing Pilsner. Please enjoy responsibly. And Encore Golf, you just became a better golfer. Must be 21 plus to enter. Josh, huge news over the weekend. Huge. I received a text. It was in a group chat from one Joe DiBiase, where he revealed he's going to be cutting back on fantasy football this year a little bit.
What?
Yeah.
How? I'm in too many. I'm in too many.
How many is too many?
Like 15.
Oh. And he's cutting back.
15? Yeah.
What are you cutting it back to?
14?
No. 14 and a half. He's
maybe,
half
maybe like
a team.
10 or 11.
Wow. See, so the league you bailed on is the Vampire League, which...
Yeah,
I don't blame anybody. It's not that fun. Of all the fantasy formats,
unless you're the vampire,
yes.
And I thought about like, is this one of the ones I want to cut? Because if I'm the vampire, that'd be awesome. But if I'm not the vampire, it's gonna be like if I'm in 12 leagues, it's probably gonna be 11th or 12th for me. And you know,
yep.
Out of respect for the league, I don't want to be in the league and have it be my 12th priority.
Well, right. I'm in the Vampire League again. If you don't know how Vampire works. Everybody drafts except for one team. That's the only team that's allowed to use waivers and pickups throughout the entire year, basically.
Right.
And if that team ever beats you, it gets to take one of your best players, whichever player it wants.
Yep.
Which, it's fine. It's not that fun. Ranking the league formats on fun. Number one,
Guillotine. Absolutely.
Guillotine.
I've never met someone that was in a guillotine league and didn't love it.
Absolutely the best format, most fun, until you lose. And then it's, you know, you lost a league.
Yeah.
Then, of course, like Dynasty and Redraft. But Vampire, it's fine. It's a little different flavor. I'm not upset about it.
I
wouldn't rave about it or say to somebody, like, ooh, I got an opening. You want to get in? It's fine.
Guillotine, even if you're eliminated, like, it depends. It's not everyone's going to be like this. Some people will still follow the league.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like a reality show. Like, ooh, who got eliminated this week on Guillotine Island?
I'm surprised we didn't end up calling it that as a society.
Guillotine Island?
Yeah, or something.
Yeah.
Guillotine
League. Like a Survivor League
or
something.
It's by far the most fun. I'm excited to get into those a little bit. All right, 803-0550. What did you take away from the Bills' blowout loss to the Bears, if anything? 803-0550. We'll roll some more phone calls. Jump on with us. It's okay to have an opinion on it. We know about the preseason pledge. Bring us a take on the preseason. We'll give you ours again, and we'll check in with Sal Capaccio, Bills beat reporter, who was on the sidelines on Saturday. He joins us at 8:30. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more, Rex.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Hey, you can register, jump in, try to win the Friday foursome with Encore Golf, Labatt, and WGR. Every Friday, we announce a lucky winner who gets to experience the excitement of playing one of Western New York's finest golf courses. Seneca Hickory Stick, Lockport Country Club, Diamond Hawk, or Clover Bank Country Club. Plus, you'll receive a box of Encore Golf Balls, a $25 gift certificate to Encore Golf, one-year basic membership to Club Encore. Enter now, WGR550.com, for your chance to win. Brought to you by Labatt, Pristine Refreshing Pilsner. Please enjoy responsibly. And Encore Golf, you just became a better golfer. Must be 21 plus to enter. Josh, huge news over the weekend. Huge. I received a text. It was in a group chat from one Joe DiBiase, where he revealed he's going to be cutting back on fantasy football this year a little bit.
What?
Yeah.
How?
I'm in too many. I'm in too many.
How many is too many?
Like 15.
Oh. And he's cutting back.
15, yeah.
What are you cutting it back to?
14?
14 and a half. He's maybe like
10 or 11.
Wow. See, so the league you bailed on is the Vampire League, which I don't blame anybody. It's not that fun. Of all the fantasy formats.
Unless you're the Vampire.
Yes.
And I thought about, like, is this one of the ones I want to cut? Because if I'm the Vampire, that'd be awesome. But if I'm not the Vampire, it's going to be, like, if I'm in 12 leagues, it's probably going to be 11th or 12th for me. And, you know, out of respect for the league, I don't want to be in the league and have it be my 12th priority.
Well, right. I'm in the Vampire League again. If you don't know how Vampire works, everybody drafts except for one team. That's the only team that's allowed to use waivers and pickups throughout the entire year, basically.
Right.
And if that team ever beats you, it gets to take one of your best players, whichever player it wants.
Yep.
Which, it's fine. It's not that fun. Ranking the league formats on fun. Number one,
guillotine. Absolutely.
Guillotine.
I've never met someone that was in a guillotine league and didn't love it.
Absolutely the best format. Most fun. Until you lose. And then it's, you know, you lost a league.
Yep.
Then, of course, like Dynasty and Redraft. But Vampire, it's fine. It's a little different flavor. I'm not upset about it.
I wouldn't rave about it
or say to somebody like, "Ooh, I got an opening. You want to get in?" It's fine.
Guillotine. Even if you're eliminated, like, it depends. It's not everyone's gonna be like this. Some people will still follow the league.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like a reality show. Like, "Ooh, who got eliminated this week on Guillotine Island?"
I'm surprised we didn't end up calling it that as a society.
Guillotine Island.
Yeah, or something.
Yeah.
Guillotine.
Like a Survivor League.
Yeah.
Or something.
It's by far the most fun. I'm excited to get into those a little bit. All right, 803-0550. What did you take away from the Bills' blowout loss to the Bears, if anything? 803-0550. We'll roll some more phone calls. Jump on with us. It's okay to have an opinion on it. We know about the preseason pledge. Bring us a take on the preseason. We'll give you ours again, and we'll check in with Sal Capaccio, Bills beat reporter, who was on the sidelines on Saturday. He joins us at 8:30. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.